Blog Talk Radio.
Issue will end the ridiculous
regulation once and for all. Ron Paul has also sponsored H.R. 1831, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2011, which you can see the bill on naturalnews.com. Blacklisted.com has covered both legislative efforts in a summary post. You want to build America? Hemp is the answer. In 1916, the United States government predicted that by the 1940s, all paper would come from hemp and that no more trees needed to be cut down. Government studies report that 1 acre of hemp equals 4.1 acres of trees, U.S. government Department of Agriculture stated.
Hemp can be used to manufacture all these things and more: shoes, clothing, paper, car parts such as bumpers, houses, bicycle frames, cosmetics, backpacks, flags, rope, food packaging, omega-3 oil supplements, protein supplements, fuel for cars, boats, lamps and decorations, skateboards.
And you know, the interesting thing too is that Henry Ford built the first hemp car, all right? He actually built a car out of hemp, all right? And if industrial hemp were legalized, all these things could be made in America. So why is Barack Obama's store making money from selling hemp scarves using hemp from China and other countries? Apparently because he favors China's economy over the U.S. economy. Hey, Obama, maybe instead of crushing America's economy, stripping away our liberties and freedoms, and seizing control over U.S. farms, you should stop and think about actually helping America's farmers for real hope and change. Legalizing industrial hemp. It's time to end the prohibition against hemp farming in America. And there's a video here too that should be listened to, but we won't do it since Lila seems to be.
Well, the article was overly long.
That wasn't very long.
Yeah, it was. I agree. We should allow hemp farming. It's ridiculous to have it be illegal.
Well, gee, I'm glad you agree there.
But I didn't think we had to have all those paragraphs to say that. But anyway.
Well, don't you think you should? Don't you think Obama importing this stuff is absurd?
Well, I agree.
I mean, that's the whole concept.
And I don't really know how long it's been illegal to.
Since 1937.
1937,
yeah. Yeah.
And of course, it's probably a lobby, and that's probably, you know, that profits.
It was set up by Hearst, okay, and set up by all of his dimwits. Like, he started to promote it with the badness, okay, of marijuana and hemp, all right, from the Hearst papers and through. What's that called? The minister there. Oh my God, it slipped my mind. How much I dislike him. Oh, Billy Graham. All right.
Uh-huh.
Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and everybody else got in the picture back
jumped
in the '30s and
forties
and fifties. Okay, and to ban it because they were all paid by these guys. Okay, and paid by the oil companies. Paid by the pharmaceutical companies, paid by the paper companies and everybody, to, you know, by the lumber companies, who had a huge investments, and they weren't
in
trees and oil and whatnot, right? Anyway, this one also knocked me. We've heard about this before, but you know this one. Wait, I've mentioned this before, but there's even more news here. On it. This is on the Komen cancer fraud. You walk in for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Running for that, yeah.
Yeah, it's really quite frightening.
Quite a business.
Komen for the cure caught in mammography propaganda fraud. Scientists blast agenda of deception. All right. Natural News. It is time for the truth to be told about Susan G. Komen for the cure. The organization is flatly stated engaged in fraud. Funded by drug companies and mammogram manufacturers, the organization preys upon women in order to grow its own financial power while feeding female victims into the conventional cancer industry grinder.
Unbelievable.
Did you want to read that? All across America,
all across America, I have to get a little closer, men and women participate in Run for the Cure events, raising tens of millions of dollars each year that go into the hands of Komen for the Cure. What these people don't know is that much of the money is spent on free mammograms. Those mammograms, in turn, actually cause breast cancer because they subject women to high doses of ionizing radiation. The Susan G. Komen scan, in essence, is to raise money that's used to give women cancer and create a financial windfall for the very same companies that financially support Komen in the first place. The Komen Foundation owns stock in General Electric, one of the largest makers of mammography machines in the world. It also owns stock in several pharmaceutical companies, including AstraZeneca, reports Tony Isaacs at Natural News. DuPont, another huge chemical company and major polluter, supplies much of the film used in mammography machines. Both DuPont and GE aggressively promote mammography screening of women in their 40s, despite the risk of its contributing to breast cancer in that age group. And while biotech giant Monsanto sponsors Breast Cancer Awareness Month's high-profile event, the race for the cure, it continues to profit from the production of many known carcinogens. Komen's corporate partners include General Mills, Zumba Fitness, Walgreens, the Republic of Tea, Remax, New Balance, American Airlines, Bank of America, Ford Motor Company, Dell, and many more. The bottom line? Komen deceives women while powerful corporations rake in the profits. This isn't merely my own opinion. Two prominent doctors in an article published in the British Medical Journal have sharply condemned Komen for the Cure for lying about the benefits of mammograms. The world's largest breast cancer charity used misleading statistics and deceptive statements about mammography to promote breast cancer awareness and screening, stated scientists. Their names, Stephen Woloshin and Lisa Schwartz, directors of the Center for Medicine and Media at Dartmouth Medical School in Hanover, New Hampshire. They join a growing number of other doctors and medical professionals who now see Komen for the Cure as a fundraising fraud and are going public with the detailed accusations against Komen's deceptions. In the recently published BMJ article, Woloshin and Schwartz accused Komen of lying in its promotional propaganda for the 2011 Breast Cancer Awareness Month in advertising. Komen falsely claimed that the five-year survival rate when breast cancer is caught early is 98%, while only 23% were not caught early. This is how Komen tricks women in getting more mammograms, which cause more cancer, by claiming early detection saves lives. But it's not science, it's pure propaganda. According to study authors Woloshin and Schwartz, Komen willfully ignored a growing and increasingly accepted body of evidence showing that although screening may reduce a woman's chances of dying from breast cancer by a small amount, it also causes major harm.
Here's an image published by the medical journal detailing how Komen for the Cure is lying about mammography. And this is a Natural News article, but here's what the data actually say. Komen for the Cure is in the business of fear-mongering. They want everyone to be scared out of their minds that breast cancer is going to strike down all the women in their life. And in order to deal with the fear, all you have to do is give more money to Komen. It's sort of like an old-school evangelical group that asks for donations and says you'll be healed if you just believe. But instead of claiming to heal people with the faith, power of faith, the Komen cult claims to heal women with the power of ionizing radiation. In reality, the actual 10-year risk of a 50-year-old woman dying of breast cancer is about 0.5%. With mammograms used to detect breast cancer tumors, that 10-year risk of dying from breast cancer moves ever so slightly toward 0.46%. In other words, the real risk reduction of dying from breast cancer by receiving mammograms is only 0.07%, 7 women out of 10,000. How many mammograms kill women? 7 out of 10,000 is a far cry from the fear-mongering levels that Komen propagandizes. It's not quite the cancer apocalypse that Komen makes it out to be. Huh. And in the meantime, Wollersheim and Schwartz explain that everywhere from 20% to 50% of women who receive mammograms for a decade of their lives will have at least one false alarm. These false alarms often lead to women being treated with deadly chemotherapy cocktails. These expensive drugs enrich the very same drug companies that donate money to Komen for the cure. And this is all part of the cycle of fraud that exploits women's bodies for profit, all while conducting this sick fraud with the message of finding a cure, emblazoned with pink ribbons. And the magnitude of the deception in all of this is pathological and even criminal. The Komen advertisement is deceptive in another way. It ignores the harms of screening, says Wollersheim and Schwartz. Between 20% and 50% of women screened annually for a decade experience at least one false alarm. I already read that, but I don't know why that was repeated. Women who are overdiagnosed cannot benefit from unnecessary chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. All they do experience is harm, they write. And the harm often comes in the form of unnecessary chemotherapy that poisons women or financially benefits the drug companies. And here's another article. There's another article on Financial News about it. Also, but women need much more than marketing slogans about screening, wrote Wollersheim and Schwartz. They need and deserve the facts, and Komen's advertising campaign failed to provide the facts. Worse, it undermined decision-making by misusing statistics to generate false hopes about the benefits of mammography screening. The kind of behavior is not very charitable.
How much longer is this article? Kind of goes on a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little long,
yeah.
but I just want to say, you can go to this or go check out naturalnews.com, and it says obscene executive salaries.
Just read that first thing. Susan G. Komen for the Cure is a multi-million dollar company with assets totaling over $300 million.
$390 million.
Only 20.9% of these funds were reportedly used in the 2009-2010 fiscal year for research for the cure, while writes Emily Michelle at Alternet. What happens with the rest of it?
Yeah, and so she goes on to explain, I don't know about you, but I would never expect directors of a charitable nonprofit organization to make more than most doctors, lawyers, or even politicians. Their CEO, President Hella G. Muddlemog, what a name.
Muddlemog.
Yeah, made $531,924 plus $26,683 and change. That's more than President Obama makes. And this is all revealed in Komen's own IRS reporting forms. Komen spends about 39% of its money on public health education, which is just another way to say pink washing. And this money is used to catapult the Komen propaganda so that further future fundraising events can raise even more money, much of which is paid to Komen fat cat executives as cushy salaries. Just remember, when you run for the cure, a significant portion of the money you raise is going straight into the pockets of wealthy Komen executives. And none of the money is actually being used to promote vitamin D or cancer prevention. Detection, after all, is not prevention. It's just a way to push the cancer industry's agenda of treating more women with toxic chemotherapy chemicals and more ionizing radiation. They say that they're actually, Komen's activities are crimes against humanity, and blacks are in particular. Getting the worst of it.
Really?
Yeah, Susan Komen for the Cure isn't just a dishonest, deceptive nonprofit that exploits women for its own power and prestige. It also engages in crimes against humanity. The use of deceptive statistics, lying propaganda, and false and misleading fundraising events push a machine of death and destruction that sacrifices the lives of women upon the altar of big pharma profits.
Well, they make you feel like if you don't get a mammogram, you're going to get cancer.
Yeah,
so you better damn well get one.
Right.
That's the way you feel.
Right, and notably, women, Komen usually targets black women, focusing their mobile mammogram trucks or mobile cancer stations on low-income neighborhoods and sites like Detroit, where breast cancer among African-American women is far more common than in white neighborhoods. The result of this, all this, is increased rates of breast cancer due to mammography itself. This, in turn, results in statistics which are cited by Komen itself to spread fear and alarm over the disease, justifying their very existence. It is, at every level, an insidious scam conducted in the cost of human innocent human lives.
Mm.
And far from finding a cure for cancer, Komen spreads cancer, incites fear, lies to women, and then cites the very cancer that it causes as justification for its existence.
Oh boy.
Susan G. Komen is a danger to the American public. It functions as a recruitment branch of Big Pharma, ensnaring women with a seductive message of hope and inspiration while delivering suffering and death. And if you donate money to Komen, you are financially supporting this insidious, destructive, non-profit monstrosity that destroys lives and brutalizes women. Women who undergo chemotherapy should be called chemically battered women, and chemo and Komen promotes this abuse of women through its reliance on false and deceptive propaganda. The solution to all this? Boycott Komen. Refuse to raise money for this harmful organization that exploits women. Inform your friends about pinkwashing. Share this article and help stop the exploitation of women by Komen and his lying propaganda. Quite frightening, huh?
It really, really is.
And they advocate, looking for a real way to prevent breast cancer, take more vitamin D. Komen won't educate women about vitamin D. But here at Natural News, we have a powerful, informative infographic that tells a story. And I suggest you really go to naturalnews.com.
Go to that article and look up and do the prevention thing.
Yeah, it's an excellent, excellent site. And, I have a lot of good information there. So, check that one out. And, let's see.
The article that I thought would be worth sharing and had the video with it. It was about globalists and what's happening in the cities that they're building and why America is, what they have prepared for themselves, why they're leaving America in droves.
All right. We can get to that one. Okay. But I just wanted to touch on these two, if you don't mind.
Nope.
This one here, the House just passes a bill eliminating Senate approval of presidential appointments.
I saw that.
Isn't that frightening?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that was frightening. And this was invited by a New American, which is the Birch Society paper.
Is the justification for that because they want a speedy process?
but
I think that's why we need to have discussion.
Definitely. I mean, it has to be those appointments. Should not be going through the Senate.
By the vote of 261 to 116, the House of Representatives passed a bill rewriting Article 2 of the Constitution and divesting the Senate of the power to accept or reject the appointment of many presidential nominees. Last year, the Senate passed the measure by a vote of 79 to 20, so it now goes to the desk of President Obama for his signature. Important positions will be filled faster. The governing agencies will be more capable of offering valuable services to their constituents, and the overall confirmation process will be more efficient, said Senator Joseph Lieberman, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee.
Yeah.
He'd put his nose.
He would have to. It's a crooked, lousy deal if Joe Lieberman's involved with it.
That's for sure.
Dozens of key management positions in the Department of Agriculture, Defense, Commerce, and Homeland Security, including the Treasurer of the United States, the Deputy Administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, and the Director of the Office of Domestic Preparedness, and the Assistant Director of FEMA, will now be filled by presidential edict, without the need of the advice and consent of the Senate, a phrase specifically removed from the process in the text of the bill. Although the House vote occurred on Tuesday, the Senate voted to surrender its constitutional check on the executive order a year ago. I mean, what kind of traitorous bastards are these,
I don't know. Well, you know who they are.
Bastards.
They're just horrible group of people.
Although, uh, dis- despite a last-minute attempt by some House leaders to put the measure to a voice vote, thus allowing members to vote in favor of the legislation without being listed on the record, a roll call vote was taken, and the name of every congressman who voted to unconstitutionally neuter the legislative branch is listed. And the process began last March when Senator Chuck Schumer and 15 co-sponsors, including Republicans, Presidential Appointment Efficiency and Streamlining Act. The measure struck from many current laws the advice and consent required by many executive branch appointments, giving the president unchecked powers to fill key administrative
positions.
So they should just throw the senators out. Yeah, what the hell good are those bastards? I mean, if the House of Representatives, who the hell needs the Senate? All right? I mean, what's their job? Or what?
Or the House of Representatives.
No, the House of Rep. I mean, you just have a dictator. That's all you.
That's basically what we have.
That's what they want to give. All right. And despite a last-minute attempt, the process. Let's see.
Despite a last-minute attempt by some.
In a memo sent to Capitol Hill in advance of Tuesday's vote in the House, Thomas McCluskey of the Family Research Council reminded lawmakers, "The United States Constitution does not bestow kindly powers." Or kingly powers on the president to appoint the senior officers of the government with no process. Although McCluskey's reading of the Constitution is accurate, as of Tuesday, it is no longer the law of the land. And according to the proponents of the measure, the bill benefited from such strong bipartisan support, joined 166 Democrats voting in favor of the passage, because its sole purpose is to relieve the backlog of unconfirmed appointees by eliminating the confirmation requirement for 200 offices. Well, for crying out loud, just get off your ass and stop taking vacations and golfing and screwing around, you know, and get
busy
these damn appointments straightened out.
Yeah, they're too busy money for themselves.
All of a sudden there's a backlog of these offices.
Yes, that's right. There never was
before.
That they have offices that are unfilled for years of a president's term. I mean, he's now campaigning for re-election, and there are offices that haven't been filled.
The process by which heads of executive departments are appointed and confirmed set forth Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, the Appointments Clause, provides that the president shall nominate and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers, and consult and counsel judges of the Supreme Court and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and with which shall be established by law, but the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such interior officers as they think proper, and the president in the president alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. This is the Constitution as it stands. Now, as soon as the President Obama adds his signature to the bill, the checks and balance established by our founding fathers as a protection against tyranny will be eliminated, as well as the concept of enumerated powers. What a joke. What a joke. You know, this is on the New American. Okay, it's probably, I think it's also on the JBS.org, the John Birch Society. But, I mean, they're the only ones that brought this out. This was never in mainstream media anywhere.
No, I can remember reading about this bill last year.
It came out last year, but no mention of it anywhere in the
list. Oh, you don't get anything on the mainstream media.
On the Internet. All right? I haven't even seen anything on the Internet on it. And I get a whole lot of things.
It's very quiet, isn't it?
Yeah. So the history of the delegate system created by the founders was synopsized in an article published by the Heritage Foundation. When the delegates of the state gathered in let's just go to the final paragraph here. It says, the minds of many are the trait of rightful power for a more streamlined appointment process is a ripoff, as the Heritage Foundation says. The Congress should not reduce the number of Senate confirmation appointments as a means of dealing with the cumbersome and inefficient internal process for considering nominations. Doing so gives away Senate influence over a number of significant appointments, does nothing to improve the Senate process, and still leaves nominees whose offices require nominations, mired in the Senate process. The proper solution to the problem of a slow Senate is to speed up the Senate rather than to diminish the role of the Senate. The Senate should look inward and streamline its internal procedures for considering all nominations. The proper solution also is the faster one, as the Senate can accomplish a solution by acting on its own in the exercise of its power to make Senate rules, while S-679 requires approval of both House and Congress. And assuming, for the sake of argument, that there is a bottleneck in the nomination of the confirmation pipeline, one solution is for the executive and legislative branches to work within the framework of the Constitution's separation of powers to remove the blockage. Alternatively, however, the Congress could eliminate the problem altogether by reducing the size of the bureaucracy by absolutely refusing to sign off on the creation or continuation of any department, program, or agency that isn't specifically authorized by the powers granted by the states to the federal government in the Constitution. Such a commitment to be bound by the Constitution would significantly reduce the number of executive branch offices for which appointments would be necessary, thereby dissolving the confirmation clause. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Who the hell needs all of these nominations anyway?
Right,
you know,
they need to
streamline. They just keep appointing the czar of this and the czar of that and the head of this and that. I mean, they're just creating this bigger and bigger bureaucracy, you know, and it's running amok because they don't have anybody in charge of it.
That's right.
It's just overwhelming, you know.
Let's go to the article that I was talking about.
Okay. This one here. Can we get to that since it's got a video? We'll do it on that one. But I can do this one here.
Okay.
Which I thought was really staggering.
I read this one too. This is really kind of.
It's really sick.
It's a little bit scary. U.S. infrastructure, highways, and power grids failing under a relentless heat wave. America, this is again from Natural News, America is falling apart literally, and the extreme weather events of the past few months and years surely have not helped the situation any. A recent New York Times piece explains that various roads, bridges, and even nuclear power facilities all across the country are crumbling or otherwise undergoing severe structural damage as a result of the extreme heat waves that continue to sweep the nation. Northern states, for example, which typically do not experience extreme summer heat, have fallen victim to several unusual and extreme weather events in recent years that have caused road and highway overpasses to buckle or separate. The train tracks to kink and bend, nuclear power facility cooling pools to run hot or completely dry, extreme rain, drought, and storm conditions have also been problematic in many other areas as well, which has led many civil engineers to reevaluate their long-held structural standards. The frequency of extreme weather is up over the past few years, and people who deal with infrastructure expect that to continue, wrote Matthew L. Wald and Joan Schwartz for the New York Times. Leading climate models suggest that weather-sensitive parts of the infrastructure will be seeing many more extreme episodes, along with shifts in weather patterns and rising maximum and minimum temperatures. Roadways have separated in North Carolina, highways are cracking in Texas, and draining culverts have blown out in Vermont, all due to extreme weather events just within the past year. A U.S. Airways jet in Virginia actually got stuck on the tarmac recently because its wheels melted in the overly hot asphalt. That's pretty scary. Nuclear power plants, particularly throughout the Midwest and Northeast, were two DeRecco storm waves recently barreled through, have also been having issues with their cooling pools as high temperatures are causing cooling water to exceed maximum allowable temperatures. In Chicago, for instance, a twin-unit nuclear power plant reportedly had to obtain special clearance to continue operating as its cooling water exceeded the 100-degree maximum by 2 degrees. Bloomberg reports that nuclear power production across the U.S. has been exceptionally low overall this year as a result of several drought and heat conditions. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, nearly 64% of the entire land area of the lower 48 states is experiencing moderate to severe drought conditions, which is having devastating consequences on both infrastructure and food crops. Admittedly, America's infrastructure has already been in decline for many years, but this fact makes the weather-induced damage particularly disturbing, especially in light of the recent grid failure in India, which left hundreds of millions of people without power. This particular disaster appears to be an omen of what is to come soon in the U.S. if conditions do not improve.
Scary,
huh?
Yeah.
I like my electricity.
Yes, I like my electricity as well. There was this one. Probably this one wasn't very long, but I wanted to read it because I believe it.
I'd like to go to that other article
I'm going to refer people to this article in it. Inflammation is a major reason why you can't lose weight, right? And it talks about your diet and what you eat. And,
obesity, yeah.
Gluten allergies and different things that you consume. And, it's very important one to read. But they go to it. Inflammation is a major reason why you can't lose weight. And it's naturalnews.com. And there. What was the one you wanted to? This was really brief. Can we go to this? This one is good. Conan O'Brien, would any Romney serve as his country in the war, if asked? Right. And I'm not sure if this was a piece on this. It was a quick video on this, but it says anyway. Yeah, here it is. Conan O'Brien asked, would any all the Romney boys. We're sitting and being interviewed by Conan O'Brien. He said, would any Romney serve his country in war, he asked.
Alexander Romney, this is what he said. Well, my grandfather and father never served, never wanted to serve. Dad got 4 deferments. And I can't see any of us running off to fight anytime soon. We serve our country by making money. To tell you the truth, let the unemployed fight.
Isn't that something? Yeah, I mean, the arrogance of these bastards just kills me.
That's right, folks. They set up war so that we poor slobs can go and fight it.
And my friend Steve Willett said, I'm not a Romney supporter, but making up statement captions that didn't occur is pretty crappy. Watch the video. Okay, so there is no video on this.
We'll have to find it.
Okay. If you don't fight back, they'll keep hitting you. And save the trees. So this is really interesting. In 1916, the U.S. government...
Well, that was what we read already.
That. Yeah, anyway.
On
him. Yeah. And that's about it.
I would like to go to that.
Yeah, okay. We will go to that now. Just wanted to check this out. Anyhow.
You were right on the article. Gutting America,
yeah.
Head for the New World Hills.
Yeah.
We go right to the
okay.
article itself.
I like this one.
Yeah. And there's an audio there, too.
I just, Zen is kind of like a little flippy to me. But
there you go. Oh, here it is.
Zen Gardner is kind of.
Yeah, I like him.
You like him? Really kind of go to a new age for me, but okay.
Ever wonder why so many American manufacturing would, why so much American manufacturing would be moved overseas? How about why in the world these top politicians would award major construction contracts to China instead of struggling American companies with unemployment skyrocketing? And why our elites are moving their accounts offshore while international banks soak up what's left of American liquidity? It's a deliberate implosion. While they're preparing for the aftermath, the elites are preparing for the destruction of the world's last great bastion of ferocious liberty lovers, whose symbol of independence and personal liberty stands in the way of global takeover. And beefing up their manufacturing replacements is an obvious sign of their intent. It's that clear.
Thinking truth. We have to see past these localized staged events by their hoodlums. Mass shootings to push their gun control agenda. That's not all. They want civil war. They want conflict. They want Americans fighting each other. All while they walk away scot-free into the new world kingdom being carefully set up in other parts of the world while the U.S. meets its engineering demise.
Everyone's divested. Corporations have long since been global. Big banks are clearly international. Even individual pawnbrokers are divested. Any sense of state or national sovereignty is anathema to the paradigm of control. They're just waiting for the old structures to collapse and all its adherents to change or die. While they stand back in the box seats of their international coliseum toasting to their bloody victory. Know this, they're not just causing America's destruction, they're preparing to keep things going after the U.S. descends into martial law, civil war, and total chaos. That will explain a lot. Now trace the money and economic decisions.
Okay. Why else be aware? Let's go to this thing.
Yeah, here, right to the audio right there.
Okay. Obama cloning and coming space war. Century capital warfare, Freeman perspective. This is an hour long.
Field Freeman.
A little bit of.
I'm kind of back in the backwaters again, starting all over with all of my technology, and so therefore I have no music for you on these shows. Sorry about that. just getting myself back up to running in full steam. Of course, the world's not going to let me relax. There's too much going on, so much to talk about. Let's get going. All right, let me just see if I've got this straight now. Back in 1913, the Griffins got together and designed the first pre-planned city of Australia, as known as Canberra. The capital was finally placed there, the Parliamentary House, in 1988, overshadowed by Henry Kissinger. This is very curious. I see as we start to get to the point where we're at now, as everyone is caught up in political intrigue against nations, the global elite are setting up their capitals and preparing a world that's beyond our comprehension. The things that they're building are so far out there that it's almost unbelievable. When we look to Canberra, Astana, or Dubai, we find very unique architecture being thrown up with very interesting geometric patterns. Now, when you get to Canberra, let's think about Australia for a minute. Now, first of all, on January 9th, I had predicted on the free zone that some effects would be seen out of the VLF array there in Australia. That's Boeing's VLF array, and you can find that linked up on freemantv.com. So So there was no big surprise, well, maybe a little bit of a surprise, when a big droid eye opened up over the continent of Australia, but immediately I knew that was exactly where the BLF array was. Now we're going to get a little deeper in understanding and thinking about what all of these ultra-low frequency radio transmitters, such as HARPS or ISCAT, and of course the BLF array in Australia, might be up to. And I looked into this many times. If you're unsure, go watch my video on HARP, as you'll see that I told you about Milosevic accusing us of using HARP to cause earthquakes in the Middle East. Now we have Hugo Chavez and the Russian military saying the same thing. For some reason, people are listening now. But when we get to Canberra, this meeting place, as it is known, this is the real meaning of the word Canberra, meeting place. And we get to the idea that over in Australia, if you all remember, that's where they established Echelon. How many of you remember Echelon? I used to make jokes about it on the phone when we would accidentally say bomb or we would say, you know, anything pretty much out of my mouth. I knew Echelon was going to be triggered. I'm pretty certain I have my own official agent there in Echelon in Australia tracking us. And I don't know if you guys remember Echelon, but this was a UK-US alliance that allowed for spy versus spy, basically, working together so that they could spy on America without violating the laws, and the UK could violate their own laws by spying on their people, all in Australia, through Echelon. Now, do you remember Bill O'Reilly? Of course you do. Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck making it to movie theaters near you these days. Well, Bill O'Reilly actually was reporting on Echelon way back in the day. I think that was mid-90s when I was watching this. And he got into the whole concept of how they could track cell phones so quickly that there was a person in the Middle East that the Russians needed and wanted to kill. And the man knew that he was able to avoid the military of the Russians because their tracking, well, it took about 5 minutes, so he could use his phone for that long. Little did he know that the Echelon used by the Americans was immediate. And as soon as he touched his phone, he was bombed, according to Bill O'Reilly. He was very adamant and very excited about all of this, you know, and as he should well be. That was one of the first violations of our privacy that was quite public. So we have in Australia Echelon. We've got the Boeing VLF array, which is a hexagonal antenna array that's, you know, doing what? We're not too sure. It's certainly not sending Dorito commercials to Ursa Major. Also in Australia, there's more going on because you must realize that there is such a thing as Project Wormwood, which is the Learmonth Solar Observatory, which is very near the VLF array. This is Project Wormwood, and if you realize, Wormwood, of course, is the incoming doom coming from space, according to the Bible. And, you know, straight to its point, Learmonth is set up as a planetary defense satellite or telescope to be watching for these incoming bodies such as G1.9. Is this the case? Is Planet X on its way? Are these being set up as these in preparation, being able to see? Of course, there's the South Pole telescope that also seems to be tracking Planet X. And, of course, today I got a report saying the CIA is backing Zechariah Sitchin. No doubts about that. I could see where this would all fill into the pattern. So you can see that Australia is not just simply some little continent sitting off over there, especially take into account that the whole parliamentary triangle, the way that this pre-planned city, the first pre-planned city, was established. Now, consider pre-planned cities. We're talking about things like Epcot, like Celebration Florida, or even the Venus Project, made famous through the Zeitgeist Movement. But this pre-planned city, set up on a geometrical pattern, was actually established back in 1913. Now, you better believe they were deep into the occult back then, and Tesla was just getting, well, pretty well known at that point. As I said, this parliamentary triangle is set up. It also has a hexagonal city layout within that. And then the Parliament House, which was overseen by Henry Kissinger, is four times larger than necessary for the country of Australia. Many believe that this Canberra, or meeting place, is the lead elite capital and will take its position as things start to shift. Now, realize that Henry Kissinger, being deeply involved with the building of the Planetary House there in Australia, in Canberra, he is also the forerunner and the one who established the idea of 10 regions of the United States, which Obama just passed through his legislation, his executive order, establishing 10 regional governors, which we're all still wondering and waiting to see if Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to take a position in that. Five of those governors are handpicked by the president himself. So we see Kissinger's plan, and therefore what I'm saying is the global elite's plan, as they establish a new world right in front of our faces, even launching off massive firework displays to announce their creation of Atlantis and Dubai, and they are building these elite capitals. Meanwhile, we are all
Atlantis
sitting back caught up
Dubai.
In nation versus nation politics, something that I don't believe they even believe in. So now we have the United States being set up in such a pattern. We've got the 10 regional governors being set up. We watch as the Denver International Airport is being the most sophisticated high-tech airport ever crafted. It is much larger than necessary. It was put in a place that was less convenient than the original airport and is, of course, the New World Airport established by the Freemasons. We find that it has a Kevlar covering and, you know, of course, the strange Denver International Airport murals, which you can see in my film with Tex Mars, Codex Magic. Very curious indeed. So we can expect, as the plan was laid out by Henry Kissinger back in 1971 with Richard Nixon, to establish these 10 regional governors under the UN. So this put America under UN control. Then we watch as, you know, next thing should be the movement of the capitals from Denver or from D.C. to Denver and Atlanta. So I wonder what they will do to the District of Columbia to bring this about. And this could lead and maybe be more on the threat from Iran. And I'll get to that as we get there. Okay, so we're now seeing also that here in America we have NORTHCOM with their Sea Smurfs. Yes, Sea Smurfs. Which are the...
I think he's having a problem.
The military men, troops that we have here in America.
Let's play some quick song here.
if I could find something in my history, but I can't.
Yeah. Let's play this for...
play something quickly.
A minute here. Tomorrow, same time, same place.